Today we celebrate this glorious solemnity of the Epiphany, a word that means a manifestation. And there are several ways that God manifested himself, and that is, manifested his divinity. And so this was one of those manifestations to the nations. So we remember that what God desires and what St. Paul talks about in the second reading is that the Gentiles are now co-heirs with the Jews and members of the same body. So there was something that needed to happen to be able to bring the Gentiles into the fullness of the truth. What we see is that there were these three men who were seeking the truth. The way they were seeking it was not the way that we would recognize it, but nonetheless, they were looking sincerely for the truth. And so God used the means that they would be able to understand, to be able to bring them to the truth. What they were doing, because one might ask, well, why didn't the Jews recognize it? If these pagan guys were able to see this, why were the Jewish people not able to? The Jewish people may well have noticed that there was an incredibly bright star in the sky. But these pagan men were actually practicing astrology, something that would be absolutely forbidden among the Jews, as it is with us. But God used that because even though what they were doing was something that was wrong, as I said, they were actually honestly trying to seek the truth. They didn't know any better. And so God showed them. And so all of a sudden, if we look at modern astronomy, they would be able to tell us that there was this star that was actually three stars very close together. One was Jupiter, one was Regulus, and anyway, they came together in the constellation of Leo, which symbolized for them Judah, which is why they came to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews. Now you have to ask yourself, did these guys run all over the world every time there was some star that suddenly showed up? Probably not. In fact, this obviously would have been a very rare occasion, even though a star was, in their way of looking at it, something that would have indicated a king. But nonetheless, how often does something like this happen? We know that it was indeed foretold, particularly in a way for the pagans. Because if you go back to the book of Numbers, there was a pagan king who wanted to destroy the Jews, and so he had hired a pagan prophet by the name of Balaam to be able to curse the Jewish people. And Balaam climbed up the mountain and looked at the Jews as they were arrayed down below, and instead of cursing them, all he could do is bless them. And that happened several times. And in one of the occasions, he talked about the fact that he could see someone coming, but not soon. He's far away, but he could see a star. And so we know then that there was going to be this sign of a star that was going to be there for the people who were not Jewish. And that's exactly what we see happening. Now, we have to ask our own selves then, what would happen to us? What needs to happen to us, perhaps, is the better way of looking at it, to be able to bring us to a deeper conversion. And I ask that because, again, when we see what happened with these three men, first of all, the disposition that they had. They see this star, they recognize in their way that they thought that this meant that there was a king that was born in Judah, and so they pack up and they make a rather arduous trip. We have no idea exactly how far they had to go or whatnot, but it certainly would have been a very lengthy trip, perhaps across the desert and whatever, just to be able to see this child. They didn't just want to see the child, they actually wanted to come and give gifts to the child. Now, people over the years commenting would say, well, yeah, they brought gold because he was a king. They brought frankincense because he is God. They brought myrrh to be able to anoint his body because he came to die. But it's not so much the gifts that they gave and that they were looking to give that were important to us. It's a question of what happened to them. Because we are told they came looking for a king. And yet, when they found him in Bethlehem, we are told they prostrated themselves and did him homage. It's not actually what it says in Greek. It says they prostrated themselves and they worshiped him. You don't worship a king. So they came looking for a newborn human king. And somehow or another, they recognized that he was God. Something very similar to what happened to the shepherds that we heard about just a couple of weeks ago. Yes, the angels appeared to the shepherds and told them that they would find a baby in a manger that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and that that would be a sign to them. The sign of what? We're simply told that when the shepherds saw, they understood what was told to them about this child. They understood something that they couldn't see, that they couldn't perceive with their senses. And that's exactly the same thing we're seeing here. The three magi saw the sign of the star. The sign was pointing to something beyond, obviously to a king who was extraordinary. But they didn't understand at the time just how extraordinary until they got there. And then something happened on the inside, and they were able to recognize that he was God. And they worshiped him as such. Therefore, we have to understand that when they left, they were completely changed. Here are pagan people who were practicing astrology, and they recognized God, and they would be changed for the rest of their lives. Now, they made this journey that could have taken weeks or even months, only to come and see him for a little tiny bit of time. We're not told exactly how long they were there. Maybe it was only a couple hours, maybe it was only minutes, we don't know. And yet, the change that would have happened in them was one that would have been for the rest of their lives. Now, this becomes very important for people like you and me, because maybe we look at ourselves and wonder why there isn't a deeper change within my own self. Maybe you have children who are away from the church and you wonder what it's going to take to bring them back. And so what I would recommend is to pray for them. And pray for yourself. Just as we heard in the first reading that darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the people, it's exactly where we're at right now. There are people that are living in confusion. There are people living in the darkness. And so what we need is a deeper conversion. If what you find is that you're just kind of going through the motions, but it's just nothing really is happening. Or maybe you can look at it and say, you know, I'm seeking fulfillment in this or that or the other thing, whatever it might be. But nothing is going to work. Then pray and ask the Lord to manifest himself. Manifest himself to your wayward children. Manifest himself to you. Each person is going to be totally unique. What happens for one person to bring about a deeper conversion may not do a thing for the person sitting next to you. But God knows that. He knew what these pagan people needed, and that was very different from what the Jewish people would have been seeking. and it's different from what you and I are seeking. If you went outside tonight and looked up at the sky and said, oh, look, there's a star, this is what it means, and boy, I just had a conversion, I have my doubts that's going to happen. But just pray and ask God to do whatever it is that needs to be done. We don't know what it's going to take. But the question that we have to ask is, do we really want it? You see, as I said about these three magi, they were seeking the truth. They didn't know exactly what that truth was that they were seeking, but they wanted the truth. They were seeking with a sincere heart. Even though they were doing it a way that's totally wrong, they didn't know at that point that it was wrong. But they were looking for the truth. And so that's where we have to start with ourselves. Do we really want that truth? Do we really want that deeper conversion? Because what will happen is once that happens in your life, everything changes. And that change is going to be for the rest of your life. At this point, we might be here saying, I believe everything the church teaches. That's, again, all up here. What's happening down here is the real question. We know what the truth is, but do we want Him who is the truth? Do we really want union with the Lord? Those are the kinds of things that we have to be looking at. And if we really do want that, honestly and sincerely, like I said, just ask the Lord. We don't know what the timing is going to be. We don't know where it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. Just as it was with these three magi, it'll generally be something very brief, but something unmistakable and something that's going to put your life on a whole different path. But the difference is that there will be fulfillment. The difference is that you can finally become the person God created you to be. That's the change that happens. So if you're looking at your life, no matter what it is, and you're seeing the emptiness of all the stuff around, look over the lives of the saints and you'll see that there were a number of them that are the same way. They gave themselves over to all kinds of things, trying to find something that was going to fulfill them. And nothing did. And finally, something happened. And they had that point of conversion. They were willing to let everything else go because they found the one thing, the only thing that could fulfill them. If that's what you really want, and if that's what you want, if your children or grandchildren are wandering aimlessly somewhere, pray and ask God. And really, this is a hard prayer for a parent to do because we don't know what it's going to require. But just tell God, do whatever you need to do, whatever it's going to take. Parents sometimes panic. It's like, well, what if it's this or that? If it's going to save their soul, if it's going to set them on the path to heaven, isn't that what you want? Would you rather them wind up in eternity the wrong direction, but they had a fun life and that was real easy? Or would you rather that maybe something difficult happens and it turns them around and saves their soul for eternity? We don't know what it's going to take. For these three men, it didn't take anything that was bad. They saw a star. The star led them to Jesus, and that changed their life. So it may be something rather simple and pleasant, maybe something difficult. We don't know. Like I said, each one of us, it's going to be different. But just pray and ask. But first, look within yourself and ask yourself, is that really what I want? Do I really want the truth? Do I really want that deeper conversion? Do I really want that change within my life so that when I see the Lord, like these three wise men, I will prostrate myself and I will worship him? That's what he's looking for from all of us, because he wants only what's best for us. Sometimes we don't want what's best for our own self. That's why we have to look seriously at this. So pray for that grace, if it isn't there already. Pray for that grace to desire the truth. Pray for that grace to desire that fulfillment, that you're to have your heart seeking what is really going to fulfill you. And then ask God to show himself to you, to manifest himself, so that whatever it's going to take to bring about that conversion, that deeper conversion within you, that's what it is that you're seeking. And like those wise men, when they saw the Lord, they will be changed, and you will be changed forever.